My name is Sean Fogarty. I've got 20 years experience in domain names. I own about 2,000 domain names. I'm a demand class member. I'm also a reseller. I've got trademarks. I've got domain names registered in global extensions. I first started domaining in the States by registering .coms. I've got a lot of concerns over the years. This meeting is important because of the additional proposed .au extension. I'm 100% against it. Now, the UK did it. New Zealand did it. They released their first annual reports after having added it, and the statistics show it has failed. Now, I'm not sure how many people in this room have read those reports, but you probably need to. Now, as a reseller, I could go and sell, go and promote to people, look, here's a new extension, it's fantastic, it's new and great, whatever. I could make money out of it. As someone that owns a lot of premium names, many of which I paid a lot of money for at the outer auction many years ago, I've got concerns about having to do defensive registrations, what it's going to cost me to do defensive registrations, and also trademarks. So there are a couple of the main points that I wanted to raise. Going back a step, Cameron, I'd like to ask, what is needed or what would need to occur for it to actually be stopped? And the reason why I'm saying that is I think we need to go back a step. There's a lot of people asking questions about, well, I don't know about it. 99% of people don't know who Alder is. And so, you know, three actual registrants, some whole multiple names, whatever the stats are. Every registrant should have received from Outer or Oz Registry information about the proposed additional extension, what was involved, and a lot of the things you're now trying to do about fixing what's already been announced. It's just a major stuff up, okay? Now, having read the results from these other extensions, we have a good fortune of not going down a path which, as you've said, in supply causes confusion in the marketplace. At the moment, some people know about it because it's received a little bit of media, but I think my question is, what would legally be necessary for the Corporations Law or for the board? Can a new board or can the existing board overrule the old board and actually put it on hold and go back and think, hang on for a minute, let's get a little bit more of this, feedback for...
Okay, so I think we've got your question.
Thank you.
And congratulations, you win the longest question of the day.
Sean,
the first thing is...
That's directed to Cameron.
Thank you, I'll direct it to Cameron in a minute. But the key is... we can also learn from the experience of other locations. So we're certainly learning from the experience of .uk and very much from .nz. The story .nz shares with us is a little bit different to maybe your interpretation of it. To answer your board governance question, I'll answer that. And that is, of course, a board can choose as a government can do. A new government can choose to change things within the realms of contract law, which we're not restricted by here. We'll take that under advisement. Cameron.
Thank you for the question, Sean, and also thank you very much for the detailed information that you have provided to me, particularly regarding the UK and the New Zealand experience. I had a very lengthy discussion with my counterpart from Nominet at the ICANN, most recent ICANN meeting around this. They are now publicly admitting they made a number of mistakes, and if they had their time again, they would do things differently, and that's very, very illustrative. This is your information, the information that we're getting from the industry, the information from other sources and other stakeholders are all going to be considered, and that's what we are going to try and come up with, what is the most logical, the most beneficial, and the most implementable process that learns from those mistakes and hopefully doesn't replicate it. The specific question around the board, Section 183 of the Corporations Act makes it quite clear that every director needs to act in the best interest of the company. They need to consider all aspects, take them to them, not necessarily from an individual value position, but what is in the best interest of the organisation. As I said, the resolution of April is a standing resolution of the board. I have been instructed to prepare a project timeline that will articulate business case evaluation, policy considerations, and of course the operational issues. The board at that time will make a decision then as to what happens from an implementation perspective. And the board reserves the right to make any decision that they see in the best interest of the organisation.
Okay, so that being said, can a new board overrule it and go back to the drawing board or not?
The board can direct me to do anything they see strategically and, as I said, in the best interest of the organisation.
Okay.